Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtimes, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is counting coup, fearing success or recognition. Well, before we dive into the topic of the hour, I wanted to go over a few housekeeping details. First off, this show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. You can download past shows at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. And you can also contact me by email, carolyn@blisshealingarts.com, or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. I hope to hear from you. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1.2 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time. So I invite you to have a listen to explore all of the great things that the network has to offer. In our last show, which was about giveaway ceremony, giving to another without expectations, we looked at the Native American giveaway ceremony, what that ritual symbolized, the idea of sharing possessions with others, being a sign that the giver is willing to make a sacrifice and surrender a gift to another without attachment or regret. And also as a way to honor that each possession out in the world has a purpose or a role in creation. And when you give away items, it's a chance to honor the mission of each object and allow it to be used. And so all of that information, and much of what I share in every show, comes from Jamie Sams's work. She's the creator of the Native American Sacred Path Card Deck and accompanying books. So I invite you to take a look at what she has to offer. But tonight, we are talking about counting coup, fearing success or recognition. And it's kind of interesting the way the preparation for the show kind of evolved for me today. I'm not even sure yet how I'm bringing in the idea of fearing success or recognition, but hang in there with me and we'll see what unfolds. Let me first explain a little bit about counting coup and what Jamie Sams has to say about that. She says, the act of counting coup, and that's C-O-U-P as in Peter, signifies a victory over an enemy or accepted challenge. So originally it was considered a very honorable act, but then it got kind of confused with what Europeans were doing in terms of scalping and things like that. That was never a part of the original act of counting coup. It was a way of acknowledging sort of achievements and successes, really, so that you could be recognized. So I guess that's one way that our topic of fearing success or recognition comes into play. And some of the ways that you would show your coup, what you had accomplished, was through symbols as part of sort of your painted face. We've talked about that in prior shows, sort of what your medicine is, what you've been able to achieve. So there were certain symbols that you could put on your face that would show, oh, you were able to take a person's horse or beat them in battle. You could also paint symbols on your own horse. So other things that were counted in counting coup, I've mentioned the horse taking some of his medicine, something that belonged to him, stealing a horse, that would give you bragging rights, so to speak. And it would add a feather to your bonnet, right? An eagle feather to your war bonnet. I've never thought about that expression, you know, adding a feather to your cap as something that was connected to Native American, to Native Americans, but perhaps it is. So, but let's look at this a little more closely. A coup feather, Jamie tells us, was never awarded to someone who intended to do something but didn't follow through. Now think about that in our lives, the number of times that we intend to do something but don't follow through. In fact, I've just, you know, now that it's sort of the beginning of the year, I've been thinking a lot about that idea of New Year's resolutions and why some people in their lives are able to sort of have a goal and persist towards, you know, achieving it, and other people, you know, have all these great ideas in their head, or they can follow through on something for a short period of time, and then it all kind of falls apart. Okay, so she says, Jamie Sams, quote, "Walking one's talk is the essence of true victory. As reflected by our ancestors, the victory of the coup feather is based upon the high ideals of eagle. Those ideals are followed by action. Just as eagle marks and kills its prey, so must we mark and attack the weaknesses that keep us from fulfilling our words. As counting coup is a personal victory that affects the whole, so is the war we wage on the old patterns that keep us from knowing world peace. These enemies can be ignorance, inner conflict, envy, jealousy," she has a whole list, "willful pride, laziness, broken promises." And she goes on, and this is the part I really want you to pay attention to. "Our modern medicine shields are made from truth. Our weapons are living that truth. And our prize is our future, bringing the healing of Earth Mother's children. Every two-legged has been asked to accomplish these coups through the discovery and healing of the self." So we're looking at healing the Earth through healing of the self. So that is a pretty powerful paradigm for us to consider. A lot of times we want to serve and we see that as something that needs to happen outside of ourselves, right? Not to say we shouldn't be doing that, but we also need to make sure that we're doing our own healing work, right? Wounded healer comes to mind as I say that. And so as I mentioned, I have really been thinking about this in terms of it being January. Happy New Year, everyone. New Year's resolutions. And, you know, a lot of times starting back, you know, right even before the holiday season is upon us, we think, okay, I'm just going to kind of go off the rails. And once January 1st rolls around, I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to quit smoking, lose weight, spend more time with my kids, you know, leave work at 5, change jobs, get to the doctor, exercise, start online dating. How about that one? And really, all of those things, all of those intentions are in response to some deeper calling from within, something that, you know, our soul is urgently crying out to us for healing. And I really think that that is something we should pause and reflect on when you look at your own intentions and resolutions. What's behind them? What are the things that you are trying to really get to the root of? You know, if it's online dating and you're seeking, you know, right relationship, you know, are you really healing what needs to be healed so that you can allow right relationship into your life? If you're, you know, wanting to lose weight, what is it that you think will happen in your life? What will actually be healed if you drop, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds? Okay, so just as a little side note, in another week or so, there's some day that's, I think it's called something like Break Your Resolution, New Year's Resolutions Day. So we've even got that as part of the culture now, that there's so many of us that, you know, we'll create these intentions, but then, you know, a few weeks in, boom, And I think getting back to our topic of fearing success or recognition, there is a part of us that, you know, when we make these resolutions, if we don't look at that idea of, well, what will happen if I no longer have this quote-unquote problem in my life? You know, if I'm no longer focused on seeing, you know, my weight as the barrier to everything else in my life being okay, or, you know, the job I hate is the barrier to everything else in my life being okay, the apartment I hate to everything else in my life being okay, you know, we might subconsciously be keeping that issue around because there's that piece of us that knows that's not really the issue. Okay, so I want us to think about that in terms of, too, looking at what those underlying issues actually are, you know, those places in us where we're wounded, where we've got these wounds that keep us stuck in kind of unhealthy patterns. And some of us will, you know, will say, you know, in working with some of my clients or just thinking in my own life or talking with friends, you know, we're too afraid to look at the wound, right? But what if we kind of try to reframe that a bit and instead think about, you know, where we've been wounded, we often also have a scar. And Donna Markova, who is one of my all-time favorite writers and spiritual teachers, has a great book called I Will Not Die, An Unlived Life. And I've referenced it in prior shows, but she's got a great chapter that's called Let Our Wounds Be Our Teachers. And in it, she talks about what she would do to find someone's spot of grace. And one of her favorite ways to do that was to ask them about their favorite scar, like their actual favorite physical scar in their body. And so she talks about, you know, when she first began doing it, she didn't quite understand why it worked. But every time she would ask that question, you know, tell me about your favorite scar, the person would kind of light up and, you know, animatedly talk about some gory wound that they had gotten as a kid or, you know, falling off their bike or whatever it happened to be. And so she wasn't quite sure what was at the root of that until she told her own story about her own scar, and it kind of clicked for her. And what she said is, quote, scars are made of the strongest tissue in our bodies, even though they are the result of deep injury. And so she would go on, I mean, I certainly love that reframe, wow, the strongest part of my body, that idea of strong at the broken places that I think it's Hemingway talks about too. You know, the result of deep injury, deep woundedness in our lives also is the source of some of the strongest tissue in our body. So then Donna Markova goes on to sort of ask, you know, about the scar and what message or lesson the person sort of got from, you know, having that wounding. And what she found over and over, and I think that's true sort of if I think about my own life or working with clients, that oftentimes she would hear stories of turning points, right? An event where the person either chose to kind of turn towards something or turn away from something in some way. And so then, of course, she gets metaphysical for us, which is one of the reasons I love her so much. And she says, you know, what if the moments of the greatest wounding in your life, this is a quote, were also places where the divine crossed your path and the unquenchable dream of your life was born? And she goes on, there is nothing that drives the human mind more than what is called an incomplete gestalt, an unmet need for closure of some kind. Imagine seeing a pad of paper lying near you with nothing drawn on the page but a circle that is not closed. Imagine hearing just, you know, the first two jingle bells and it stops at jingle all and you don't get to hear the rest of that. So she says, quote, purpose ultimately is the drive to close that circle, finish that song, bridge that gap. And then what she says, and this is what I love and how it sort of relates back to what I said at the top of the hour, quote, if your purpose is only about you, it has no branches. If it is only about the rest of the world, it has no roots. I believe this is why learning that the moments when our essential needs were not met in some very basic ways hold the possibility to unfold our gifts. Wouldn't it be a good joke, she continues, if the worst that has happened to us holds the possibility of bringing the best in us to the community? End quote. So, looking at that idea of wounding being a path to purpose, not necessarily for, you know, your purpose forever, but a way in which you've got this catalyst for transformation. She calls it, you know, a canoe that can help us cross great divides in our lives. Places where, quote, we disconnected from trusting ourselves in the world. And I think so much of that fear that people feel comes from this place where we feel disconnected, separated from oneness and also from our ability to trust in ourselves. And we've got that fear of, like, so many things as a result of that. And even a fear of success or recognition. Like, uh-oh, somebody's, you know, I'm going to be the center of attention if I accomplish these things. What if I can't handle it? You know, do I trust myself to be able to walk my talk or show up in the way that I think people are expecting me to? So it can be, you know, scary, I guess, would be the sort of the most basic word, to face some of these wounds, break down the scar tissue. So, you know, what I'd like to do is kind of keep moving us toward this, you know, the possibility of looking at some of the wounds that we still have and coming up with a process for change that might be able to help us. So that's what I'm going to endeavor to do for the rest of our time together. I want to talk to you all about another favorite author of mine, Araya Mountain Dreamer. She's written a book called The Invitation. And the piece of source material that wanted to be shared today comes from her chapter on fire and part of the poem, The Invitation, that she wrote. And it's, quote, it doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. And she writes about that, and she says, sometimes we go out and seek the fire that will burn away what is dross in our lives. More often we awaken suddenly to find ourselves encircled by flame. Intense experiences of the heart transform us. I want to know if you can stand with me, eyes wide open, when the fire, asked for or unbidden, consumes all we think we know. I want to know if you will offer yourself as fuel for the flames and let the mystery we seek, the divine we long for, which comes in unpredictable ways, consume and transform you. That's from page 102. Then she gives an example of what happened to a friend of hers, Catherine, who had a brain aneurysm that burst, and how she became physically and mentally disabled after that, requiring, you know, 24-hour care, and sort of the process she herself went through, what it made her think about in terms of, you know, that, you know, bad things can happen to you when you least expect it, and even though we want to try to figure out a way to control things, if I'm just good enough, if I just serve enough, if I just, you know, do X enough, then I'll be in control, when really, we're not in control. And so she talks about how she had to really figure out how to live differently from that, to live in what she called the vastness of what she doesn't know and what she cannot control. Standing in the center of that fire with her friend Catherine really changed her. And what she said was that she developed a level of ruthless honesty and an almost physical aversion to the small daily lies we sometimes tell ourselves. And then she says, quote, if life is precious and fragile, I do not want to waste one moment on polite half-truths. And even Catherine herself was able to kind of reframe this wounding, her whole life changing, being, you know, physically and mentally disabled, requiring that 24-hour care. And she was able to say to Araya, life is still good. And, you know, how could that possibly be so? Araya asked her. And she said, I've learned to live fully in the present. It's all I've got. And that's pretty powerful, like being able to reframe such a wounding when it could have just utterly crushed you, is really, for me, a source of inspiration. And I want us to really think about that. Consider the woundings that we've have and how, you know, how do we face them? How do we do it differently? How do we go about making the changes that we need to make, going within and listening to what our essential self is saying, sort of our essence as it calls to us. You know, there have been a lot of times in my life where I've been sort of in this space of feeling this urgency, like I'm idling too fast, and, you know, I want to sort of take off, but I don't know to where, and, you know, I don't know what my goal is, but yet I feel this urgency of needing to shift something in my life. And the only thing I've been able to do in that case is sort of go to my mantra, which I've shared plenty of times. I am willing. Help me trust. Help me to see, you know, where I'm supposed to go. Help me to trust that spirit and the universe is guiding me the way that I am meant to be guided. And then help me to cultivate that willingness to stand in the fire, right? To be in the center of, you know, what I need to get through in order to have the life that's waiting for me. And, you know, sometimes it hurts and it's uncomfortable and it's sweaty and icky, and yet it's the only way to move to that next level, to spiral a little bit higher. And so it's time to go to break already. I just want to set us up for our second segment and say that I will be presenting a process for change recommended by Martha Beck, who is the third spiritual teacher that I'll be talking about in our show. So I will let Brian take us to break, and I will talk to y'all in a few.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson-Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Welcome back. You are listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is counting coup, fearing success or recognition. I promised that in this segment, I would go through a change process that is available to us on account of Martha Beck's great work in her book called Finding Your Own North Star, Claiming the Life You Were Meant to Live. And Martha Beck is one of my favorite spiritual teachers because she didn't really start out as a spiritual teacher. She was a Harvard-trained psychologist who, because of a number of events in her own life, a number of, you know, sort of woundings or traumatic happenings, sort of evolved and then evolved some more and studied and evolved and experienced things. And now she's very much a proponent of sort of seeing the universe as this place of infinite possibility and potentiality and really being able to manifest what your soul is urging you to do. So she talks a lot about the idea of these transition events in our lives, woundings or unexpected happenings, some that are like, you know, shocks or opportunities that come sort of externally, and other ones that are more sort of internal, where, you know, your essential self has been torn down to such an extent that if you don't make some kind of change, you feel like you're just really, you're just going to crumble up and not be able to go on. And so those kind of events sort of develop much more slowly than the, you know, shocks or opportunities. I think about some shocks in sort of my own experience around, you know, my father's passing. And I more recently have been thinking a lot about what that was like for my mom, who, you know, my dad had a pretty quick illness. He passed from pancreatic cancer, but you know, we were getting used to the idea that he had 3 to 6 months and he passed in sort of 5 days. And what that meant for her and how, you know, she had to pick up so many pieces. And even though that was, you know, back in 2007, it's still something that today I think she carries in a heavy way many days. So, you know, that was a shock that really forced her to catalyze her. Whereas, you know, other things where people are just not sort of aligned with the life they're meant to be living, it's sort of this gradual chipping away at you. You know, you're in a job you can't stand or a relationship that just does not feed you at all. And, you know, but it can take what seems like forever to get you into this position to say, you know, enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, so I guess you get the idea about that. So Martha Beck talks about this sort of four square change process where she calls square one death and rebirth. And she describes that as the period in which you kind of mourn your old life and begin to explore your new one. You choose a new identity, embrace your, you know, essence more easily, and it allows you to sort of plot your new life, right, based on sort of what is going on for you internally rather than on sort of these external ideas of what you think people want for your life or what you think you should be doing. And so, quote, only if you get in touch with your essential self and go in the direction your compasses indicate will your life transition lead you toward happiness. So it's really in square one, you're giving up the old and making space for the new to emerge. So from there, you move into square two. Square two, she calls dreaming and scheming. And this is where the ideas start to come, right? The outside-the-box thinking. And the dreams that you dream during this sort of square two are really these visions of the life that you're supposed to be living. The sort of, wouldn't it be nice if, those kinds of, you know, sentence, you complete those sentence stems. Wouldn't it be nice if I had my own home? Wouldn't it be nice if I ran my own business? Wouldn't it be nice if I had a family? Wouldn't it be nice if I went back to school? Wouldn't it be nice if I could, you know, hike the Appalachian Trail? Wouldn't it be nice if, okay, you get the idea. And that it's a really important square to be in, this dreaming and scheming, because anything you want always begins with that inner vision before it gradually moves into the real world, right? Anything you look around you, anything that exists in the world once existed first inside someone's head. Okay, so that's square two. Square three, Martha Beck calls the hero's saga. And this is kind of her practical, pragmatic square. Not always my favorite, I will admit. But it's really where you sort of get into the nuts and bolts of the change process that you're in, how to sort of manifest your change, right? Putting square two visions and ideas into action. And when you do that, one of the things she cautions us about is that you learn it doesn't work. That, you know, you thought it was going to be so easy, and yet you are met with obstacles. And, you know, she calls it the hero's saga for a reason. And if you think about all, you know, the hero's journey, that epic idea, it's not like the hero goes off and, you know, no problem, is able to do, you know, all these really, you know, death-defying things with, you know, and it's all a piece of cake. No, there are problems and challenges and obstacles and monsters to fight and slay and that sort of thing. And then, you know, you move into square four, the promised land. So really, you know, before I jump into our promised land, I just want to really say that it doesn't mean that the dreams that you had in square two were misguided if you've got to modify them in square three, right? Really keep in mind that the dreams do actually eventually work out. Okay, so square four, the promised land. And she says this is the point that you want to get to as quickly as possible and stay there as long as you can. It's this opportunity to tend your new life, right? Where you get to stop, she says. You get to rest, she says. You get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You know, you want to smooth out the kinks here and there, but, you know, you've arrived, right? But even here, she says, and this is so true of just being a human being on the planet, that if you become too complacent or too relaxed in square four in the promised land, and if you assume that it will last forever, then you're setting yourself up for some kind of fall. And I know, like, for me, I go through this a lot. I'm in a new relationship, and it's a wonderful relationship, and I sometimes find myself getting a little complacent, and I think, oops, I need to really step up my game on a few fronts and really honor this relationship for the precious gift to me that it is, with every, you know, intention in my heart that it will, you know, that it has longevity, but also knowing that who knows what will happen, what, you know, unbidden things will occur that, you know, like Araya Mountain Dreamer said in the first segment of the show, you know, things happen. And we have to kind of roll with those opportunities, I guess, for transformation. So square four, the promised land, you don't want to get too complacent because there's always what she calls that brand new catalytic event under the surface. She also talks about, and I think this is important to flesh out a little bit, this idea of big moves and small moves. So she's got, you know, the square for us, and there are four blocks in the square. And she aligns square one, where we have our death and rebirth, and square three, the hero's saga. And square four, the promised land, as the place where we have small moves, right? And square two and three, where we have our dreaming and scheming and our hero's saga, where we have our big moves. And I like that idea, too. Like, you don't want to do too much in, you know, the promised land. If it's the promised land, it doesn't require a lot of changes, right? But in your, you know, dreaming and scheming square, you want to be able to kind of make some big moves. You know, maybe yesterday you thought it should look like this, but today, wow, look at the idea that came in. And, you know, it's totally different from the day before. Same thing with, you know, the hero saga, when you're sort of trying to work out the nuts and bolts of your plan. Maybe you want to make the big move of getting a loan for your business or a mortgage for your house or, you know, whatever that whatever step you need to take to be able to move forward towards your promised land. Okay. She also talks a little bit about looking at sort of how you are with change. And she has what I think are hilarious names for this. And again, this is from her book called Finding Your Own North Star by Martha Beck. She talks about the chaos commando, the big dreamer, and the little doer. I sometimes resonate with that a lot. The realist, not idealist, so not being able to think big. And then also the Rock of Gibraltar, someone who just gets really stuck where they are. I'm not going to go into too much detail on each of those. If you want more information, you can definitely be in touch with me. I'd be happy to share with you. Probably best thing would be to email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. A couple more things for us to talk about, but we're hitting up against another break. In our final segment, I'll be talking about Carolyn Mace's work called Defying Gravity, Healing Beyond the Bounds of Reason, and how we can transform some of our wounds through forgiveness. And, you know, I guess I'll stop there. Save the rest of this for segment three. I'll let Brian take us to break.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX. If you're just joining us, we're in our final segment of the hour. Our topic tonight is counting coup, fearing success or recognition. In thinking about this idea of counting coup, being able to kind of look at our accomplishments, the show is kind of evolved into looking at places in our lives where we've been wounded, where we've developed scar tissue, and allowing those places to be opportunities for our transformation, catalysts or bridges that take us from a way of living that maybe isn't most aligned with our essential self towards a way of living that allows us to be the fullest expression of who we are. And what has been recommended through all of the references to from our metaphysical teachers tonight is that we really need to turn away from always looking for our answers externally and go within and see what our essence, our essential self, our true nature is recommending, calling out to us to do, to be, that sort of thing. And so in our final segment, I wanted to talk to you about what Carolyn Mace explains in her book called Defy Gravity, Healing Beyond the Bounds of Reason. And she talks about one of the teachings of Buddha where he would say, I am but a finger pointing to the moon. Don't look at me, look at the moon. And so, you know, I think people can sort of get the gist of what that means, but if we were to unpack it a little more fully, I guess what Buddha is saying is that, you know, people will look at, you know, worshiping Buddha as sort of the ultimate manifestation of truth. That's what Carolyn Mace calls it. And the caution there, or the advice that Buddha is offering, is to say, you know, bypass me. I'm just pointing at the moon. Go for the more authentic target, you know, which is the moon itself standing in for your own inner enlightenment, right? So that idea, time and time again in the shows that I do. It's that reminder that we need to look within for our answers, for our own truth. And so, you know, looking at our beliefs about oneness and separateness, that when something bad happens to us and we're wounded or scarred in some way, that that's a separation from the divine. What if it isn't? What if it's the divine's way of providing a huge catalyst for transformation for us? And what if it's our belief system that, you know, nothing works out for me or I'll never get what I want, only bad things happen, is the very thing that is keeping us separate from what, from the life we're meant to be living. And so that is something that I am always talking about, and here Carolyn Mace, too, in her book Defy Gravity, reminds us about. And she puts it as this sort of, this battle that goes on between sort of the power of the ego versus the power of the soul, right? And I think that relates back to our topic around, you know, fearing success or recognition. You know, if you fear success or recognition, how is that coming from an ego place? Not necessarily a too much ego place, more of sort of a not enough ego place. Really, do I deserve success? You know, do I deserve recognition? You know, I can't handle that. But if you're coming from this place of the soul and the power of the soul, you don't fear success or recognition because it doesn't really concern you. You're not driven by a need to have success, to be famous, to be recognized. You're driven by wanting to sort of fulfill the contract of your soul or to fulfill sort of the service that you're being asked to do. And so you show up from that place of service and not, you know, oh, you know, don't anybody look at me or, you know, who am I? You know, people are going to think I have this big ego if I claim to be able to do, you know, this or that. So there really is something important for each of us to kind of look at, especially as healers or teachers or, you know, we're trying to get out in the world in different ways. We need to really look at sort of that sort of battle that may be going on that we're not even aware of between sort of our ego, you know, too much or too little, and sort of our soul and really being able to manifest our soul's calling. Okay, so making this a little bit more concrete for us, one of the ways to kind of really get in touch with this sort of ego versus soul dichotomy comes from a book called Nothing Left Over, A Plain and Simple Life by a woman named Toinette. And I want to say Lippe, but I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce her last name. It's L-I-P-P, as in Peter, E. And so she talks about something she does, which I think is a great idea. And it's not dissimilar to the mind-body groups that I run here at Bliss, where she gets together with friends every month. And there's no set theme other than the topic of what really matters. No one's really in charge. And once someone has started to talk, they get to speak without being, you know, interrupted. And it's this two-hour session where everyone is committed to speaking the truth. You know, remember I said at the top of the hour, Araya Mountain Dreamer saying that, you know, once something so horrible had happened to one of her friends, she got into this space of feeling that life is so precious that she didn't have time for all of the small little lies that, you know, we tell ourselves every day or the ways that we just become so inauthentic. And so this idea of getting together with people to speak the truth, to speak your own truth, not to like point at other people around you and say, you know what's wrong with you or you know what you need to do. It's not about that. You know, it's about tending to your own life, your own authenticity as a way to, you know, heal yourself, to grow those roots, but also to heal the world. And imagine if each of us does that, if each of us, you know, in community, in, you know, the group space is able to join together and support each other around sort of facing some hard truths, talking about things, like claiming, like being witnessed. There's nothing more powerful than being witnessed, being heard, being understood. So I offer that as a suggestion for the new year. Maybe that's a good resolution for us to have, or an intention for us to set, that we're going to get together with friends and do nothing more than speak the truth, whatever that means to us. There's a great thing in Peter Levine's book, Healing Trauma. It's from the Gnostic Gospels, actually, and it's, if you bring forth that which is within you, then that which is within you will be your salvation. If you do not bring forth that which is within you, then that which is within you will destroy you. And what that really speaks to is this idea of healing. It really is about healing and not being afraid to look at the things inside you that cause you pain, bringing them up for examination, bringing them forth, right, so that it can be your salvation. And not doing that, keeping them hidden, keeping them buried deep down, can destroy you. I mean, I love that idea of shining light on the things, the places where you're most wounded, and being honest about that and being willing to transform is pretty powerful. Okay, so that willingness to go there, that ability to get support from your peers, from professionals, from practitioners that you resonate with. You know, maybe you're going through a healing magazine or something and somebody pops off the page at you. Pay attention to that. Maybe you're meant to go have a consult with that person. Maybe you're meant to buy that book that pops out or that CD that has guided meditations. You know, allow that sort of metaphysical part of yourself to communicate with you, to speak to you, so that you can sort of allow this transformation process to happen. Peter Levine, who is this amazing trauma healer guy, who does the somatic experiencing program, will say, too, that trauma is this important key, same as something like meditation, that can unlock a great transformation. So looking at that as a resource for you. And as we wind down, I wanted to go back to Donna Markova, who I actually started the show with. She always ends each chapter in her book, I Will Not Die an Unlived Life, with a communication to the reader and what she says. And now, dear reader, I am wondering what this telling evokes for you. What wound in your life could be a passageway to your purpose? How could its healing provide a connection to the healing of the world? Let's contemplate these words as we close tonight's program. We've got some upcoming opportunities. The Shamanic Journeying, that group that I run, is on the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. You can find details on my website. I offer sacred path card readings with the Native American Sacred Path Cards. I do energy work and chakra balancing in person or over the phone. I thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is February 8th at 7 p.m., where our topic is arrow medicine, walking your truth. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, Happy New Year, and I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.